City Light, Merry Christmas. Today marks the second week of City Light's Advent celebration. And Advent is a Latin term that refers to the arrival of someone significant. You see, throughout Advent, followers of Jesus, we look back and we celebrate the first arrival of Jesus when he was born as a baby in the manger to save us from our sins. But we also look forward with eager longing for the day when he will arrive again and banish all sickness and sin, all death and discouragement, and we will be with him forever. In this Advent, we're doing something a little bit different. We're considering a question. Who is the King of Glory? Who really is the King who was born in a manger that very first Christmas? You see, more than simply wanting to be lulled into nostalgia, this year, we want to experience more of the real Jesus. We want to see him in all of his divinity and humanity, all of his humility, and in all of his glory. And that's what this series is all about, experiencing more of the real Jesus, the King of Glory, who is born in a manger. I mean, who of us does not need to experience more of Jesus this year? And so let's pray, and then we will behold the wonder of the King of Glory in all of his humility. Father, as we come to your word now, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, no matter where we've been, what we've done, or what our week has been like, that you will speak to us. We just pray that you'll remove every barrier, and now by the power of your Spirit, through your word, you'll so speak to us that we will become a people who look to and love Jesus. We pray that you would allow us the privilege of recapturing the wonder of Advent and Christmas and the baby in the manger by beholding all of who he is. And I want to pray especially for those of us who might be somewhat new to Christianity, that today we would see the real Jesus for all of who he is. I pray that my words will fall to the floor, Father, and your word will go forth into our hearts. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. These old familiar lyrics remind us of something profoundly biblical about Christmas. Jesus came into the world to save sinners for the sake of our joy. As the old Westminster Catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Joy to the world. But let me ask you, if Jesus came for our joy, why don't we feel more joyful? Why don't we participate in more rejoicing? The great 20th century physician turned preacher, Martin Lloyd-Jones, answered that question this way. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself rather than talking to yourself? So Jesus came for our joy, but it's actually our moment-by-moment thinking that often gets in the way. Enter the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, often called his joy letter. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul tells us that he preaches the gospel and he writes his letters for the sake of our progress and joy in the faith. And then in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul connects the dots between our joy and our moment-by-moment thinking. In Philippians 2:5, Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And that brings us to the big idea of our passage. For the sake of joy, think like Jesus. For the sake of your moment-by-moment joy, to glorify God and enjoy him forever, today and always, adopt the very thinking, the attitude, and mindset of Jesus himself. Think like Jesus. Of course, the question becomes, well, How did Jesus really think? The King of Glory, born in the manger, how did he really think? And in our passage this morning, we're going to see three answers to that question. He thought of others, he thought of God, and he thought of future glory. Let's begin with the first. For the sake of your joy, think like Jesus, who thought of others. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 7 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. These verses describe the greatest of all miracles, what Christian theologians call the incarnation. And the Heidelberg Catechism beautifully describes the incarnation with these words. The eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took upon himself true human nature, like his brothers in every respect, yet without sin. And in Philippians 2, verses 6 to 7, we see the wonder of the incarnation in sort of a three-step process where the Apostle Paul describes Jesus' position, attitude, and actions. His position was he was in the form of God. That is, he is eternally equal with God. His attitude was using all of his divine privileges, not to be served, but to serve. Not as a thing to be grasped, but as something to be used for the sake of others. And then his action was that he took on the very form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Do you see how Jesus thought? Jesus used all of his divine privileges not to be served, but to serve. He used everything he had thinking of others. That's the wonder of the doctrine of the incarnation, the eternal God taking on flesh for others. He thought of others. Now, the doctrine of the incarnation can be a little bit difficult to grasp, but there's an apparently true story of a tribe in Africa with a chief that actually helps bring the doctrine of the incarnation home to me. So in this tribe, the chief wore a headdress and royal robe, sort of to distinguish himself, to show his glory, that he is truly the chief. Now, in this tribe where they live, water is quite scarce. And in order to get water, they would dig wells down 100 feet into the earth. And only the strongest people in the tribe could actually go down into the well, fill up buckets with water, and then hoist themselves and the water all the way back up to the top to give to the tribe water. And one day, one of the strongest men was climbing up the well, fell back, and broke his leg. Everyone panicked because they thought, how are we going to possibly get him out of here? You know, only the strongest people could fetch water out of the well, let alone we have no one strong enough to fetch an actual person. And so they panicked and they went and told the chief. And you know what the chief did? He took off his headdress, took off his glory robes, and he himself went down into the well. He was the only one strong enough to actually risk his life and hoist the man onto his own back and carry him out of the well. Now, at no point when the chief took off his crown did he cease to be the chief. And in the same way, when the Lord Jesus Christ did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. He did not empty himself of being fully God. Rather, he emptied himself by becoming fully human to come down to us, not to risk his life, but to give his life as a ransom for our sins. And only Jesus could. That's the wonder of the incarnation, that God took on flesh thinking of others. So let me ask you, what do you have? What money and what means? What position and privileges? What time, what treasure, what talent has God given to you? For the sake of your joy, Think like Jesus. He thought of what he had, divinity, as something to be used for others and for the sake of your joy. Because as Jesus taught us, it's more blessed, it's more happy to give than to receive. Think like the King of Glory. Think of others. Use every resource that you have to serve other people, and you'll be truly happy storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What would it look like for you this Christmas to think of everything you have like the King of Glory does, for the sake of others? You know, there are probably dozens of possible answers to that question, but one way that you could think of others this Christmas is by signing up to be part of the Compassion Initiative that you just heard about. You can go to citylightphilly.com/compassion. You'll learn of many different ways that you can practically serve our community this season. And if you sign up, we'll get you connected to those needs. You see, it is more happy to think of others than to think of ourselves, to think like Jesus, who laid his glory by thinking of others. Now, secondly, for the sake of joy, think like Jesus. Secondly, he thought of God. He thought of God. In Philippians 2:8, we read, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Now you notice again, the Apostle Paul unfolds what Jesus thought like. He unfolds the wonder of what he was like in the incarnation by, again, showing us his position, attitude, and actions. His position in the incarnation was true humanity. His attitude was utter humility, and his action was complete obedience. But obedience to what? Our passage says that he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But the Apostle Paul's not saying that Jesus obeyed death. After all, Jesus never sinned. The Bible says that the consequence of sin is death. We all have to obey death. We will die one day because of our sins. But death had no hold over Jesus that he needed to obey it. When Paul says that he became obedient to the point of death, Paul's saying Jesus became obedient to the Father, to the point of the most humiliating death possible, naked and nailed to a cross for us. And you may remember from the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out to the Father, "Let the cup," that is the suffering of the cross, "pass from me." But do you remember how joyous Jesus thought? "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." You see, not only was no service beneath Jesus, but no obedience was beneath Jesus. He obeyed the Father to the lowest possible rung, death, even death on a cross. But did you know that the Bible says that Jesus suffered even that humiliation ultimately for the sake of his joy? Hebrews 12:2 says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." For the sake of your joy, think like Jesus. He thought first of others, but now secondly we learn he thought of God, obeying the Father to the lowest possible rung for the sake of his highest joy. So here's a question I want all of us to consider. Where in your life are you thinking these days, "Okay, I know God says to do blank, but come on, let's be realistic. I'll be happier if I do blank." Or where in your life are you saying, "Look, I know that God says not to do blank, but I'll be happier if I do blank"? Friend, you are missing the joyous thinking of Jesus. His greatest joy was in thinking of the Father and obeying him even to the lowest rung. That is the path to greatest joy, thinking like Jesus, who thought of God. You know, this whole idea of finding your greatest joy in thinking of God and obeying him to the lowest rung, it actually reminds me of a book that Andrea, my wife, has been reading to me and the kids in the evenings. It's this book called Believe It. by Nick Foles. If you're not familiar with Nick Foles, he was the backup quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles who became the Super Bowl MVP when he led the Eagles to their Super Bowl title in 2018. And Nick Foles writes in the book about his fiance getting incredibly sick, actually just after they started a romantic relationship. And so then after they got engaged, they lived together. And Foles describes the ultimate greater joy that he found in thinking of God and obeying him. Listen to what he writes. He writes, "After Tori finished her treatment at Mayo, we moved into a small rental house right across the street from Tori's brother Evan and his wife in Corona Del Mar, a charming little beach town in South Orange County. We still hadn't set a wedding date because of Tori's health. And even though the idea of living together continued to gnaw at us, it didn't make sense for us to live in separate places when she needed so much help. One weekend in early April, I was sitting outside chatting with my friend John Demeter. John and I met at the University of Arizona, where he was on staff with Athletes in Action. Along with my strength coach, Coach Ed, who hosted Bible study at his house every Thursday for players, John was one of my first Christian mentors. So Tori was inside with a nurse undergoing an experimental IVIG treatment. The doctors thought that if there was an autoimmune issue causing her POTS, this would help to make her less symptomatic. Now, IVIG is a grueling process that takes 4, sometimes 5 hours over the course of 5 days. So John had stopped by to keep me company while Tori tried to sleep her way through it. In the middle of our conversation, John suddenly switched tracks. "Nick, I feel like I have to call you out on something." He paused for a second before continuing. "You and Tori really shouldn't be living together." I didn't respond, but inside I was fuming. "Are you serious? Tori can barely move. As we speak, she's undergoing a 5-hour medical treatment, and you're getting on me about this? What do you want me to do, abandon her?" He just looked at me. "You know I'm right, Nick." Of course I knew it. Tori and I both knew it. We'd been justifying our decision for months, but deep down we both knew that we were doing what wasn't in line with what we believed and what the Bible teaches. "I know," I finally confessed. "I just can't imagine not being with her all the time while she's going through this. Her parents don't live here, and she can't live by herself." John thought for a moment, then asked, "Have you set a date yet?" I shook my head. "No, I want Tori to have a big, beautiful wedding, the kind every little girl dreams of, but she's still so weak. I don't think she could even make it down the aisle." He looked at the house. "Well, what if you went to the local courthouse and did it there? You could still do a big church wedding later when Tori's feeling better, but at least you'd be honoring God." I hadn't even thought of that. I had to admit, it made sense. The question was, what would Tori think? As soon as John left, I went inside to run the idea past her. I honestly had no idea how she would react. I also had no idea that she'd been eavesdropping on our entire conversation. "Tori," I said, trying to sound as casual as possible. "John and I were talking and let's do it," she blurted out. "What?" "I heard everything," she said. "I agree 100% with everything John said." "Well, I wasn't expecting that." "It's something we've both struggled with," she shrugged. "So let's just do it. Let's go down to the courthouse first thing next week and get married." I just stared at her for a minute. "It doesn't have to be some huge elaborate event," she went on. "Sure, that would be nice, but that's not our reality right now. The most important thing is you and me and both of us honoring God with our relationship." Then after describing the scene of them getting married before a justice of the peace and his soon-to-be wife wasn't even strong enough to stand up, he writes, "This wouldn't have been our first choice for what our wedding would look like. But it was beautiful in its own way. And we both knew we would cherish it forever." They would cherish it forever. They thought like Jesus, who thought of God and obeyed God even to the lowest rung for the sake of their greatest joy. You know, I've walked with countless couples through similar situations, and every time God is honored, joy breaks in. Now, you may not be in this kind of situation, but the question is, will you joyously think like Jesus, who thought of God and obeyed him to the lowest rung for the sake of his highest joy? What would this look like for you? Now, third and finally, for the sake of joy, think like Jesus. He thought of future glory. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11, says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Christ thought of others, and so he emptied himself. Christ thought of God, and so he humbled himself. And now we learn that the King of Glory, who is born in the manger, thought of his future glory. You see, it was because he walked the path of utter humility to the point of death that the Father exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name, and that name is Lord. See, the Father giving the Son his very own name is the rarest of all honors, because in Isaiah 42, verse 3, we read, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. So the Son humbled himself, and the Father exalted him, so that everyone, everywhere, who bows the knee to King Jesus, receives and rests in him alone for salvation, is forgiven of all their sins and receives eternal life, or they will bow the knee to King Jesus at the judgment when it's too late and be cast into eternal destruction. And this is all to the glory of God the Father. Do you see how Jesus thought? He didn't think of glory in this life. He humbled himself, and it was the Father who exalted him. He thought of future glory for the sake of his highest joy. Again, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured even the cross with joy, knowing that the Father would exalt him. So here's the question. Are you thinking like Jesus? Are you thinking of future glory? You know, probably the most amazing feat I've ever personally witnessed was the birth of our son, Soren. Now, you might be thinking, hang on, isn't the greatest feat you've ever witnessed the birth of your daughter, Sage? After all, your wife pushed her out into the world in the front seat of a car after 50 minutes of labor. Well, I didn't really witness that. That was more of like a blur and then just catch at the last minute. But with my son, I actually got to see the wonder of the experience. And I got to watch my wife endure through 10 hours of hard labor, no epidural. And honestly, if you know my wife, you know she's like the most just kind of got it together person I've ever met, but it looked like agony. Okay, she's calm, cool, and collected, but it still looked excruciating to me. But do you know what got her through it? You know how she was able to endure the 10 hours of labor? What was thinking of the future glory of holding her very own son in her arms. And after she pushed him into the world and held him, all of the pain and the memory of it just was drowned in an ocean of joy in having our son. You see, in the same way, when you fix your eyes on future glory, When you fix your eyes on a new heaven and a new earth where every tear will be wiped away and we will be with Jesus, not because we've earned it or deserve it, but because he has done it all for us in his life, death, and resurrection. See, when you receive and rest in Jesus, you have the promise of eternal glory where you will be with the Father, Son, and Spirit forever. And it is that future hope and thinking of that future glory that reaches back in here and now, so that you can endure even this season with joy because you're thinking like Jesus. You're thinking of future glory. See, friends, that's the King of Glory. That's the King who is born in the manger at Christmas. That's the real Jesus. And who of us doesn't need more of his peace, his presence, his perseverance? And so, friends, receive. Rest in and think like Jesus. He is the King of Glory who is born in a manger for you. Let's pray. Father, what can we do but stand in wonder at Jesus? He is the one who thought of others in emptying himself, thought of you in humbling himself, and you highly exalted him. He is the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords and has the name above every name. And so we pray, Father, that this Christmas, you would help us to recapture the wonder of Christmas, of Advent, of the baby in the manger, because we see just a bit more of the utter humility of our King of Glory. Help us to receive him, to rest in him, and for the sake of joy, think like him. In his name we pray. Amen.